The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Welcome, Anthony. I believe that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett congratulated the new German Chancellor. Have you any idea what they spoke about?
Well, there is some information about their phone call. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett was hardly off the plane from his trip to Abu Dhabi when he was calling the new German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, congratulated him on his new position. And apparently during the course of their conversation, they spoke about a number of areas of common interest. Of course, Iran is always on the agenda. We know that Germany is one of the countries that's signatory to the Iranian nuclear deal. And so that would be a very a pertinent subject and a very relevant subject for them to discuss, because the European countries have been very much supportive of continuing to maintain the nuclear agreement in place between Iran and the P5+1 countries. We know that the United States withdrew from the agreement, but there are discussions going on at the moment in Vienna with the view to the US possibly returning to the agreement. So that definitely was one issue on the agenda. Another issue on the agenda would have been Corona. I think that it's an issue on everybody's agenda, no matter who you're speaking to and what you're speaking about. Corona seems to be in the news and, of course, a topic of discussion. Also, generally, cooperation between Germany and Israel in a wide range of fields, including economic cooperation, diplomatic cooperation, security, and various other issues. Israel and Germany traditionally have a very close working relationship these days, to the point that it has been the practice in recent years for joint cabinet meetings to take place between Israel and Germany from time to time. I think that it was timed to take place twice a year, once in Israel and once in Germany. So I think that the close working relationship between the two countries was clearly on the agenda with a view to trying to maintain that as much as possible. Lots of areas of common interest that Naftali Bennett would have spoken to the new German Chancellor about. So it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, might change in terms of German policy towards Israel under the new Chancellor. Of course, Naftali Bennett himself hasn't been in office all that long, so it's a general change around in terms of people at the top of the leadership of the two countries. It'll be a very interesting thing to see how the new German government develops its policy towards Israel moving forward.
Yes, after 16 years of Angela Merkel, promises to be quite a change. Now,
big moment indeed. And of course, he doesn't have a very strong majority.
Yes.
So all of that is going to be very instrumental in molding things in the future. And of course, Angela Merkel was an institution in and of herself. Mm. And so it's going to be interesting to see how Germany responds to the new regime.
Right. I believe we now have an Israeli oral vaccine trial that has begun in South Africa. Now, I'm curious about the details of the trial and who's involved in conducting it.
So this is an Israeli company called Oramed Pharmaceuticals, which is a clinical stage pharmaceutical company. It's based on technology that's been developed by the Hadassah University Medical Center. And they have developed a trial for an oral coronavirus vaccine, oral COVID-19 vaccine, which is based on a technology that Oramed had previously to orally administer protein-based therapies rather than via injection. And the vaccine's been developed in cooperation actually with an Indian company. The idea is to get 24 participants in South Africa into the phase 1 trial. And so these are going to be people who have neither the COVID-19 vaccine at all, nor have they contracted the virus. So we need to find that the company has had to find 24 participants who've neither had a vaccination nor have they had a corona. Each one will receive one dose of the vaccine at the beginning of their period of participation and then another dose 3 weeks later. And then The idea is to see how effective the oral medication is against coronavirus, and with a view to potentially expanding that trial moving forward. So I think that this is an interesting moment for the vaccination program of COVID-19, because we're seeing a lot of people are very much anti the idea of getting a vaccination administered by injection. I'm not quite sure to what extent some of those so-called anti-vaxxers might object to an oral vaccination, whether that would also be something that they would object to, or whether they might be willing to submit themselves to an oral vaccination rather than an injected one. Perhaps listeners out there who are listening to this and who might have a view about an oral-based vaccine as opposed to one that's administered by injection would be in touch. Let us know what you think about this. But obviously, an interesting fact, and of course, it's interesting that this has been done in South Africa. My understanding is that at the moment, South Africa is something like 23% vaccinated via the jabs. And so there is, seems to be a big market, a big opportunity for Oramed, assuming that the trial goes well and that an oral vaccine may well be developed as a result of that.
I think the reality of an oral vaccine is just that from everybody's point of view, the administration of it and administering it is so much easier. And maybe that's where the other benefits will come in for the society in general. One doesn't have to do as much to get it, taken.
You don't need to keep it frozen, and special conditions, it'll be much easier to transport as well. So we won't have to have these refrigerated aircraft and refrigerated vehicles to transport certain vaccine. And so, and it'll obviously be easier to get. You can probably then pick it up at a pharmacy rather than having to submit yourselves to some sort of a vaccination center. So I'm guessing that those are all going to be things that will be to its advantage ultimately.
Agreed. And finally, Anthony, we're looking at the report that Israel has attacked chemical weapon sites in Syria. This is intriguing. Presumably it's partly because it would pose a threat to Israel.
Well, those people who might have listened this morning would have heard my discussion about this particular point. I think it's important enough to talk about it again this afternoon. This is a Washington Post article that was published yesterday that talks about some of Israel's attacks that have been carried out against targets in Syria having actually been directed towards chemical weapon production facilities. You are absolutely correct in assuming that Israel would consider that to be a significant threat to its safety. And indeed, Israel's attacks generally against targets in Syria, which have come quite frequently, sometimes once or even twice a week over the past few months and even in the past few years, are all directed towards activities that are considered to constitute a threat to Israel's security. So whether it be the movement of arms and ammunition that could potentially represent a threat to Israel, whether it be the establishment of a base in southern Syria by the Iranian regime, which is considered also to be a threat to Israel. Of course, the production of chemical weapons is a threat. We've seen the Syrian regime use chemical weapons on its own people with devastating effect, with thousands of people being killed as a result of that. And now to think that Syria might restart the whole the issue of production of chemicals for chemical weapons is pretty scary. According to the report by the Washington Post, there was an attack that was carried out in March of 2020 and another one carried out in June of 2021, once against a base in Homs and once against the city of Damascus and targets in the city of Damascus, which apparently killed a few Syrian soldiers. It also apparently killed an engineer who allegedly worked at a military lab. But the idea was that there was some sort of a villa that had been taken over to produce tricalcium phosphate, which in turn could then be converted into phosphorus trichloride, which of course is the precursor for sarin and for other nerve agents, which would, for Israel would be a very frightening prospect to have within the hands of the Syrian regime for use potentially against not only its own people, but potentially against Israel too. So that had to be apparently, according to the Washington Post, taken care of by the Israeli army.
And they certainly can. Anthony, thank you very much for your contribution this afternoon. Fascinating to hear.